Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to another episode of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast on realagriculture.com. I'm your host, Sean Haney. Mind Your Farm Business is brought to you by RBC Financial. Special thanks to them for sponsoring these podcasts. You can find all past episodes at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today we're going to focus on two words. Now, sometimes we get confused and we think that these two words mean the same thing, but they really don't. Fair and equal. Equal is not fair and fair is not equal. We've heard that phrase a lot in family farm succession talks and discussions. Today I brought in a guest we've had before, but is one of the most entertaining and enthusiastic and informative people on the subject, and that's Jolene Brown. Jolene regularly speaks across Canada on the RBC Speaking Series, as well as she is a professional speaker, she is an author, she is a family farm business consultant, as well as a regular Farmer Brown, as she likes to say. Jolene is not only going to discuss the difference between fair and equal, but she's also going to give us some tips and things to think about to ensure that your family farm succession process goes successfully, and at the end of the day, there's a farm to be run and operated and stay in the family. How are you doing today, Jolene?
I'm doing great, Sean.
When we're trying to convince parents that fair is not equal, and that it kind of doesn't it kind of go against our natural tendencies as parents?
Well, this fair and equal deal is the number one roadblock about why we don't do stuff, and it's partly of what you just had to said, of what you just said. We don't separate the person of the family who we love unconditionally. We accept them, and certainly we give 100% of ourselves to our children, and hopefully they to us in all that we do. And so that certainly is fair. Now, when we're talking about distribution of a business so that it can maintain its integrity and continue, then we have to take a look at how that it just distribution is done. And that certainly is based on the asset value and then the perception of the distribution and the owner's goals.
Well, we know the perception of how things are split sometimes, that's what throws things really in a downward spiral. But can we actually achieve both fair and equal in a succession deal, or are they just polar opposites of each other?
Oh, no, Sean. You betcha we can achieve it. And fair actually may be equal if three conditions have been met. In other words, those who are working in the business, if they are rewarded market value for the value that they bring and allowed to purchase into the business as they go, that's one of the conditions that might make it fair and equal. Another is if they have been compensated for sweat equity annually. In other words, what they are bringing into the business is increasing the net worth of the business, and they may or may not be paid market value. Well, that transition of value must be done each year at the annual meeting, not this thing called, you know, work hard, someday this will all be yours and we're going to take care of it at the will. No, sweat equity is rewarded each year. And then the third thing is, if you want fair and equal to be considered, you have to have a buy-sell agreement that values both the, that addresses both the value of the business and the terms of the transition, so that if you are distributing the value of those assets to other individuals, that they actually receive the value under terms of which they can continue the business. So those three things must be met, and then all of a sudden, fair is equal. We've got people buying in, so they've got some skin in the game, they're earning their value, and if they are increasing the net worth, that's what equity may be compensated each year at the annual meeting. Or if they're not paid market value, the difference in that compensation is sweat equity rewarded every year. And then the third thing is that they have a great buy-sell agreement so the business can continue and other owners might receive compensation.
Okay, so you said of a line in those I think it was in number two about, you know, that empty promise of don't worry, one day you see all of this, this will all be yours.
What? Right. You know, farmers lie. They don't mean to, but they say that over and over again, and then they never do the legal or the transition work to make sure that will happen. Or they let the reading of the will happen, and that's where they let it all be yours. And everybody else feels like they've been shut out because the conversation has not been had, and they think you got just a really good deal. They may or may not understand that perhaps you've worked there 40 years building up that net worth, taking that risk, being paid compensation of value or not. And so this is why you do things, you know, this is a process. It's not a one-time deal. And so every year things take place, and the rules of the game must be known.
Let's look at this through the lens of the, not necessarily, we'll call that person the child, but they could be 50 years old. You know, they still don't have a succession plan in place. They go home for supper. Their spouse says, did you talk about that succession deal today? And they say, don't worry, I know my parents will treat us fairly. That's a big red flag.
Yep. Yes. That's when I ask the question, how much risk are you willing to take in the hopes things will be as you wish? And what I've learned is hope is not a good business strategy for the business nor for the people involved. And so you have a right, as the next generation, to be asking the rules of the game, but have you earned that right? First of all, do you have your house clean? Do you have your will? Have you taken care of your family and done what you need to do before you start wondering about the transition of the assets of the first generation? So clean up your house. And then I think you need to go to them in honesty and say, you know, I'm scared. I've been working here a number of years. I have a family that I love and support, and you are part of that family, and you've loved and supported me. But I just want to know, what do you have planned for the future? Because it makes a difference of whether or not I can afford to continue to stay here. I'm not greedy. I'm not telling you have to give it to me. I just want to know the rules of your game. And then if you're not told, they say, well, we'll talk about it later. And then you bring it up a second time, and you ask for a formal meeting. You say, I need a sit-down business meeting with you, the business owners. I'm an employee contributing in this manner, and I need to know. If nothing happens at that time, then you got to decide, is it worth staying there or not?
Yeah, if it wasn't the family farm, it was a job maybe in agribusiness or something like that, would you stay in those situations? Probably not, so you need to be honest with yourself.
Well, before you ever worked for the family business, one of my requirements is that you work for someone else for at least 3 years, not more than seven. You tend not to go back to the family business. But during that time, you learned you can work for somebody else, and you're going to have a boss, and you're going to find out that they will evaluate you, and you have to perform. You learn all kinds of things. But the most important thing is you learn, you know, if this doesn't work out, I am employable. I can work elsewhere.
Now, in a lot of these discussions, the patriarch or the matriarch of the family really becomes that focal point of the communication process. But what do you suggest about, you know, we also have off-farm siblings that are also part of this fair and equal conversation. Is it a good idea if we're the person back on the farm to have open and honest discussions with our siblings as well that aren't on the farm?
Well, yes, and that is the mom and dad and the whole conversation thing. But I would have to have mom and dad. I'd have to have the asset owners. I'm using the terms mom and dad, but it might be grandma and grandpa or an uncle and a brother. Mm-hmm. I have to know the answer to three questions from the owners. And the first is this. Do you really want this business to continue? And I want a yes or no. In other words, if you're not involved, if you're going to leave, if you die, if you're disabled, do you want this business to be able to continue? And I need a yes or no. The second question is, so in order for it to continue, we have to not only transition assets, but the skills that the people, that we got the right people continuing it. So we have to know, when are you going to transition? Not just labor, but management and leadership, and that will lead to the transition of ownership. And then the third thing is with whom? Who have you vetted that can truly take on the responsibilities of this business, that understands the risks and the rewards, the finances, the production, and the people side of the business? You see, then you have a business worthy of transitioning. That has to be first. And then second, you answer, yes, I want it to continue. I'm transitioning right now management, because every year they're here, they're taking on more of the management responsibilities, and I'm the wise master off to the side giving my opinion. and then we have structure set up so that transition of ownership happens incrementally, not just at the time of death. And I know there's all these tax benefits if you wait till somebody dies. But I want you to know there's worse things than paying tax. And that's not having a business transition in a way that it can continue.
Yeah, and when corn was $7, you know, everybody off the farm all of a sudden took an interest in agriculture. When, you know, corn's at $2 or $3, it's a little bit less interesting. But when we have land values that have gone up as much as they have, it's easy for the off-farm siblings to have all of a sudden an interest in what's going on back at the old family farm that they weren't really that interested in, maybe even 20 years prior. So it really does require some very, very strong communication to make it work.
And some good advisors. You need financial advisors. you're going to need legal advisors who can get those. Both of those are going to give you options and the reality of what happens if something takes place in this scenario, what happens right now. If you do this, what would happen? And you always design your estate plan as if something happens to you today. This is why you're rewarding every year annually, not just at the time of death. And then we have to make sure that you have somebody that keeps people talking and working well together. And that's a family business consultant or a coach. And sometimes I just bring my 2x4 and hit them over the head and say, hey, you guys, you're a bunch of 2-year-olds in adult bodies. You know, we're dealing here with a $3 or $5 million asset business. Do you want this to continue? What would happen right now? And we go around the table and we play dead. I have dad die. Okay, you just, you know, put your head down, you're dead. And then I turn to mom and I say, you know, what just happened? What are you going to do? And she usually says, well, we got to bury him. And she's, oh gosh, I don't know. It's getting close to harvest. But oh God, I don't know. But the kids will know. And then so she turns to the kids in the business and she says, so what's going to happen? What are you going to do? And the kids turn to me and say, well, I got to figure out how we're going to sell the farm. And dad pops up. I said, you know, dad wants to know that you can't sell the farm. I said, dad, you're dead. You can't talk. And so I say to the kids, worked in this business all this time, the business your parents have built up, why are you selling the farm? And they say, my parents have equal shares per stirpes. I have 3 other siblings. There's no way I can come up with appraised cash value and pay them their portion of it. So we have to sell the farm. And then I turn to the daughter-in-laws who've been living on the farm and I say, my gosh, what just happened? What are you going to do? And they're usually white as a ghost because they realize they've lost their only source of income and they've lost the house in which we live because the farm owns the house. And then I tell dad, well, you can come back to life now. And he says, do I have to? Because we've got us some work to do. And then I have the son die, the people who are in the business. What if they're not there? And it's really fascinating how this opens the discussion. But I want you to know, Sean, when we can do this heavyweight project with some perspective and some joy and levity, we sleep a whole lot better at night as we get the process in place. We get the legal documents, knowing they have to be reviewed. We make sure the senior generation who built the business are financially secure. And then we take a look at what's left. Do they want this business to continue? When and with whom?
Yeah, you know, and you've mentioned goal setting and what are the objectives a couple times. You know, I've heard a lot of my friends that have kind of gone through the farm succession stuff. It seems the very first goal a lot of times is, in the end, we want everybody to get along. Is that really
stop,
a good goal?
Stop, right? Stop, Sean, because the smoke's coming out of my ears. You know, there's two things that really we got to address. It's when the senior generation says to me, you know, Jolene, when I die, we want everybody to get along and we want them all to be happy. And in order for them to do that, we're going to let them decide how we should distribute our assets. Oh my gosh. This is the parent's job because you know who at that table is a Sherman tank. By golly, this is what I want. This is how it's going to be. And you know who at that table is the martyr. If that's what you want, you can have. We want peace and brotherhood in the family. We want us all to get along. You know who has put in earned sweat equity in lieu of compensation, who has built the net worth of the business, and you're going to let them decide? This is the parent's job. And they cannot decide. They cannot let their parent, their next generation decide now. What I suggest they do is they think long and hard to the answer to the questions we've asked before. Do you want it to continue? When and with whom? And we know all of the other assets, and we've gone to an attorney and an accountant, and we say to them, we need a draft of our will and the buy-sell agreement in plain English. Add all the where-to-fores and there-as-is later, okay? And then I want you to call all your kids together, and do not do this at Christmas time, and you're going to pay for them to come home. No in-laws are invited at this time. And you're going to say, we've been thinking long and hard, and here's where we're at right now. In front of you, each of you have a copy of the buy-sell agreement, and you have a copy of the will. And here's what is in our estate at this time. First, mom and dad, we're taking care of each other. I want you to know that's off the top. And then what is left, here's how we have the determination, because we've made a decision that we want this business to stay viable as a business. So let's go through the buy-sell agreement now. And they hear it in your words. And then you go through the will at this time. And then you say, but this is a big old house. You grew up here. Everybody take these copies. Go off by yourself. And I want you to come back to us one at a time. And we want to hear what you're thinking. And then you may or may not make changes. But ultimately, the rules of the game have to be known.
Yeah, well, and in reality, the fair and equal discussions seem to go a lot smoother when the off-farm siblings are successful in their own lives. Sometimes where there can be a really damaging situation is where that farm is sort of the backup plan to, you know, adding financial security to those people.
If that is their plan, if the parents' goal is we want to provide finances to all of our generations, to all of the next generation, that they can count on income, then their distribution is through the buy-sell agreement that they receive compensation, but under terms of which those in the business can continue to do the business. And there, a good buy-sell agreement, Sean, not only does it have six parts, it's different if there's death or disability or divorce or disillusionment. If there's a divorce, we have mandatory buyout because we don't want an ex-spouse sitting at the table. If it's death, we have to deal with the distribution because of probate and get it done. If it's disability, owners may need their money. But if you have it set up so that the people are bought out under terms, and it might be a 10-year buyout, under a low interest rate because it might be a restricted owner entity, this is why you've got to have a really good attorney and a really good accountant sitting by your side.
Yeah, you know, Jolene, it's been great to talk to you about equal is not fair and fair is not equal, but you can achieve them if you follow some of Jolene's key messages and steps that she's provided today. Jolene, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I wish people two things, a successful business and a happy family. But I find if you want a happy family, you better work on the business.
It was great today to talk to Jolene Brown. Jolene is always so energetic, entertaining, and so informative. I thought of the quote as I talked to Jolene today. My family is my greatest strength, but also my greatest weakness. It is so true. It is not easy working in a family business. And it's especially not easy when we're dealing with words like fair and equal and trying to figure out what those actually mean. Let's quickly jump back to Jolene as she describes this concept of fair and equal with the metaphor of an apple.
The apple exercise means you don't just reward the fact that you made a pie out of apples. You reward the fact that there was a tree that was planted, it kept it watered, disease away, insects away, weeds away, and somebody then picked an apple, and then they stored the apple, and they marketed it, and then they sold the apple so you could make the pie. So you don't just reward the fact that there's a pie. You reward the fact that those who allowed the pie to even exist. And when I do this at a kitchen table, when I do this in my public seminars, the light bulbs that go off are huge, especially for owners who are now thinking at things with different eyes.
For another edition of Mind Your Farm Business brought to you by RBC Financial, this is Sean Haney, and we'll talk to you again soon.